Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, December the 22nd, 2016. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored that you're here to join us again today to enter into this conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness and all the corollary tools that go along with it. You know, there's an old story about David and Goliath, and that Goliath has at his disposal a whole series of tools. Of course, the symbolic story speaks of a warrior who's 9 feet tall and, you know, superhuman, and he's got swords and shields and spears and helmets, and nobody, he's impenetrable. And unless one has the tools required to break that Goliath mind, which is an internal process, we're not talking about some warrior on a battlefield, we're talking about an internal process. And that internal process is one where if one does not have the main tool of love of truth, that it is impossible to see one's own mind's behavior as being other than righteous and on track and on target and always right, you know, a compulsive need to be right. And when that mind is in that state, the only way it can be penetrated is through, well, of course, there are a whole series of tools, but the key is to love truth enough to be able to go, instead of deflecting this and making it all somebody else's fault, am I willing to be responsible when my Goliath mind comes up? When I lash out, you know, with a tongue or a fist or whatever it is, when I lash out, am I willing to take responsibility for that? Or am I going to deflect it and talk about somebody else as being the problem? And it's a major challenge in our world, especially coming up with holiday time and all the stresses of people coming together, that so often this Goliath mind comes in with its, you know, its sarcasms, its lashing out in so many different ways. And so the idea here is to come to the point of being willing to be responsible. And yes, you know, lots of people are in error. Lots of people are off track. But, you know, when you're in error, anybody else being off track is none of your business. It's not your conversation. And so to love truth enough to say, if I'm lashing out, rather than telling you how you did it too, why am I lashing out? What's going on for me that I'm lashing out? That Goliath, this hostility, you know, war-based mind is taking over and using intimidation to try to shut other people down and to keep them from expression. And, of course, oftentimes there'll be a whole trail of people that the Goliath mind blames for how they did the same thing to them, never seeing that it was done by themselves in the first place. So love of truth becomes a major key in the healing of this Goliath mind. And, of course, there are the 5 smooth stones of David. Now, we're told that it only took one of the smooth stones. And what are the 5 smooth stones of David? Well, David, if you remember, was a little guy. He couldn't even wear armor. He wasn't trained in war. He wasn't trained in conflict. what he did was he spent time guarding sheep. That was his lifestyle. Now, of course, if you're out there at night guarding sheep, there's not a whole lot to do. So there's definitely lots of what in his book, let me get my brain to the name of the book of Joseph Chilton Pierce, Magical Child. He speaks of plenty of blank staring time as being the key to having brilliant, happy children. Not getting them in school early, not making sure that they're disciplined properly, that is, properly beat up as the culture calls it, not making sure that they're number one in their grades, but rather that the child has plenty of blank staring time. And when the child has plenty of blank staring time, a set of other faculties begins to come into the fray, comes into expression through this body-mind unit. If one never takes the time to do that, if one is always in the compulsive busyness, if one was always run as a child by the world, run, to the point where they run away, they have to escape, then those other faculties don't generally develop. And so David had these five smooth stones, and they were called smooth stones because they were faculties that were practiced. And it only took one to take Goliath down. We're not talking about killing a human being. We're talking about dismantling the non-being mind and putting it to rest. Okay. So the five smooth stones of David are the intuitive faculty, the faculty of reason, the faculty of will, the faculty or the ability to achieve true perception, and the faculty of imagination, the ability to image in whole new scenarios that change the game and start to dissolve this non-being mind and its hostility-based practices. And so we invite everyone to engage in the tools. And then, of course, once you crack the Goliath mind open, then the tool of forgiveness comes into play. And forgiveness being that tool with which you are able to remove the fear and hostility-based responses, that those fear and hostility-based responses are softened and smoothed and removed until the automatic response when there's a considered to be a stress. And remember, the stress is always created internally. If one holds a stress, you know, oh, if you ever talk to me and don't agree with me, well then, you know, it's the goal that's in the mind inside that creates the stress, not the external action. And so if one finds themselves in that hostility or fear-based response, then to remove that response becomes the result of the activity of forgiveness. If you haven't engaged in the forgiveness processes yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And if you start at the top of the page, the first two words on the page say start here, and that opens a whole series of links that will begin the process of understanding and putting to work the tool of first century Aramaic forgiveness. So we invite you to go to the website, and once you hit that home page, on the right-hand side, there are several social media links. The bottom one is YouTube. Go to our YouTube channel. There are a couple of, I think there are probably about 100 videos on there now, but the two in particular that you want to start off watching if you're new to this work, if you look down the list, you'll see one that has an icon that has a picture of the globe, you know, the blue planet from space. And the title of it is ACIM, What is the World, How We Forgive? It's about a 39-minute video. Give it a watch. It will explain a lot about how the mind generates the world that it sees, and then stepping into the forgiveness process that is about dissolving the root of the world that we see based in hostility or fear. Then the second video to watch is one that is a PowerPoint presentation. The icon for that one is the cover of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, blue and red lettering on the cover. And it starts out with the word PowerPoint. And that's an awesome piece of work that is a PowerPoint presentation that takes literally 30 years of studying and understanding the first century Aramaic forgiveness process, practical use of it and the practice of it, and puts it into an understandable format so that you don't have to spend 30 years studying the first century Aramaic teachings of Yeshua to understand how the forgiveness process works. So we invite you to put those things to work in your life. And, of course, if you start to use the tools, then the reason that we're here is to support you in the use of those tools. And we open the space for questions. Is Dr. Tim with us today, Jeannie?
Yes, thank God.
Well, let's say hello to the young man. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm blessedly busy and spreading the use of the tools. And as I talked about on, I guess yesterday we had a chance to talk about the group on Tuesday, and I'll have another group tonight. We'll have them again next week. And just blessing after blessing in the sharing of these tools. It comes to me today to say, you know, if once again, if you don't have a support group near you, I can't think of a better way to improve the quality of your life than download the Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and read a segment at a time with some friends and then do a worksheet or two. And bit by bit, as I was talking about yesterday, uncover patterns from your past that are very much alive and active in your unconscious and literally determining your day-to-day behavior today. And when you do that in the, you know, the company of like-minded people who want to improve their life, be more loving, know the true reason for their anger and their frustration and their fear, learn to recognize that as an alarm system to point them in the direction of what needs to be dismantled in their life. My life has gotten so much better. People were asking me, since I'm taking the work week off next week, oh, does that mean you're not going to have your groups? And I said, oh, no, I'll be there for the groups because they're the highlight of my week. So that's my input for today, is the invitation once again to either find a group near you or start one. It takes nothing more than downloading the free material on your website, whyagain.org, and doing it yourself or getting one or two people to join you. Sit and read a segment of Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and do a worksheet or two and move on into life with less baggage, more clarity, more joy. So that's
awesome.
My offering.
Well, I'm glad you're taking a week of holidays. I hope you have an awesome time.
That's the plan. And of course, if that plan doesn't work out, it'll be something even better.
There you go. Sounds good. All right, well, we're still in Austin, Texas for one more day. We fly out tomorrow afternoon, and we'll be heading into St. Louis. We've got some grandbaby time and daughter time, and heading out to Lake Claire to get settled in for the Christmas season. So we're certainly holding the space for everybody to have an awesome, wondrous Christmas season. And, you know, you look at the Aramaic idea of Christ, and Christ in Aramaic is not a name of a person. It is actually the word that's been translated as Christ is actually a word that means a direct channel to the open mind of God or the love of God, that we literally, energetically live, move, and have our being in this energy field called love. And when we tap into it, that mind of love will become active in us. It's been called also our intuition, that faculty that gives us access to data anywhere on the globe, anything that's happening, anytime, anywhere, that we literally can open that faculty and have access to that. And to remember, with all the party and all the stuff that goes on, to take some time for yourself to have some of that blank staring time, to just get quiet and to experience the fact that if you delve under the surface, what you have is this energetic dynamic of the presence of love, or what was called the mind of Christ, that will guide you, that will literally function in your world. So we invite you to take that and put it to work and have happy holy days in the meantime. Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room? Seven six zero, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
That's you, young lady. We got you.
Okay. I couldn't hear part of what was being said, so I thought I lost you for a minute. Hey, this is Anne in Ocala. Question I had from yesterday, it had to do with some of it had, well, indirectly has to do with 12-step work. But I had encountered so far three people who didn't know how to envision holding a newborn. And so the first one was when I first came home from intensive, he was a young man who was a repairman that came to repair my fridge, actually. And he was searching. And however God did it, the conversation started about what I had just come back from, and of course I was very excited about it. And I was, you know, my first person to share with, and I was kind of taken aback that he had never held a newborn. He was probably in his late 20s. And so I said, okay, puppy, kitten, no, neither one of those either. So this is an awkward time because he's, you know, repairing stuff, but he did want to, he did accept the information, and I gave him a wake-up sheet that had all the information on the bottom, of course. So so that was my first encounter with it, and then I've had a couple since. But one, the third one was more recent last night, and it was a young lady who had fallen off the wagon and done drugs. I was at a Christmas gathering for Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian 12-step. And so after our discussion meeting, it's open share, and you know, and you don't interrupt the rules, you follow the rules a lot like regular AA meetings. And but I had known her from the group that I had gone through before, and she had actually gotten through court and gotten reinstated with whatever it was that she needed to do because she had gone through the Celebrate Recovery and had stayed off of any drugs or anything. However, I hadn't seen her in a while, 8 months or so, and it turns out that she had a relapse. She was off someplace on her own, down in Florida, actually. And but she'd been clean now for, you know, a month or two. So anyway, after the meeting, though, she said, would it be too much, you know, if I call? I says, no, of course not. So we exchanged numbers again, and I said, so what prompted me was to show her how to do a love exchange. And when I asked her about holding a newborn, nope, she's never done it. Puppy kitten, nope, never done it. And I said, so then I just started delving to see, and she started crying because she could not come up. So I just stayed with it, and she was able to do it, and I was able to do a love exchange with her, and she just was, you know, blown away by it. So I was just encouraging her to do it in the mirror, you know, and stuff. And so I'm going to follow up with her. And she has her mom as a backup, and when we were going through the 12-step, her mom was really triggers all over the place, and now she's a support with her. And I think it could be because she had seen her stay off of, you know, stuff, the stuff. And she used terms, and I knew Gail would probably know, might know some of these terms, but used terms that I would not have a clue what they mean and about how they get the stuff in your body. It's just so bizarre. But because of doing my work, which was so awesome, I could just ignore that part and just focus on her and just, you know, pretend like I knew what she was talking about. I guess I was nodding my head. But because the most important thing was that she was able to do the love exchange with me and give her a tool. So, you know, it's a beginning, but it's was an awesome beginning. So back to my question of what else have you used to come up with for someone to know that awesome presence of love, or, you know, put themselves in that?
Well, if someone doesn't have a direct experience of that, what I usually do is just say, well, I'll lend you mine. And I explain the birth of my daughter and how I caught her and how she opened her eyes and crystal clear as her head delivered into my hands and just grinned at me and,
right,
you know, sent me into literally another dimension, that it was so powerful that it totally took me out of my mind and put me into such a sweet experiential space that it changed my life. And so I lend the mine. If someone has no other way to relate to it, then I would suggest you take your experience of your holding of a newborn and share it with as genuine an energy as you can that can help to open the space for them to at least build the brain cells to comprehend, wow, there's something different than the world of drama and trauma that I've lived in all my life. And so many people just have never had a taste of it and you know, haven't got a way to relate to it. So that's the best way I've found to do it.
Right, right. Yeah, and I can take that energy because when you shared that in intensive, I mean, all the passion and all the emotion was there. And so I can picture that. So that's cool. Yeah, and for my own self, right, since I have had that experience. And even delivering a puppy, you know, or a kitten, because
yeah.
I've done that. It's that same, yeah, it's that amazingness of, you know, one of the words that people list on the left side of the board. So,
exactly.
Okay, that's
exactly.
Awesome. Yeah,
yep.
I appreciate that. Yep. That's perfect.
And it's awesome
Thank
that
you.
You're
Thank
passing
you.
This on to so many people. That's so fabulous. And
wow,
it's interesting
yeah.
how it strengthens it for you, isn't it?
Yes. Practice, practice. And, you know, the two people that we exchanged prayer things for, and I hadn't been there in a while, but it's like, okay, you know, I'm ready to go back to at least the one where it's the open share, because I can sit there and resonate that through all the pain that people were sharing. And so mine was, you know, because in that group they call it hurts and hangups, and I chose not to call it that, but that I'm recovering. And one other person used the word recovering, you know, from codependency, and that I could be who I am, love. So I kind of got the nudge from Roka to, okay, you can be that light now because, you know, you're getting past that, still recovering, but getting past some of that hurt and hang-ups. And so, yeah, so you're right. That's awesome.
Well, you know, in a situation like that where someone's sharing, just doing a love exchange with them, you know, one-sided from your own side, where you're pouring through that energy of love that just touches people. And there's where, you know, in a space where there's a trauma surfacing, if one person can hold to the active presence of love, that trauma tends to start to dissolve. If the person, especially if the person who's holding it, is willing to own it and have it dissolve. Of course, if somebody believes that it's their defense, it's how they protect themselves, it's how they survive, you know, then they'll keep using it. They'll whip anybody. They'll whip their favorite person in the world with it because, gee, that's how I survive. And until they're willing to look at the truth of, oh, maybe I can give that up as a survival tool. Maybe I could have a gentle, loving response to somebody when they're not fulfilling my goals, then maybe the whole game changes. So,
yes, I agree. It reminds me of Nancy has spoken about that before on our support calls, you know, just resonating that with some of her clients. Yeah.
Right, right.
Good. Yeah.
Fabulous.
It's all good. Awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. Glad to be on
awesome.
The team.
Yeah, all right. And we're delighted to have you there. And really appreciate the work that you're doing. Just watching the forward movement in your world and then hearing how you're sharing it is just, you know, what a blessing.
Yes, thanks. Oh, and I want to add, I'm holding a space for Claudia from Unity and, you know, that was at the Still Point.
Right.
In the Villages Unity. Because I did, I had a thought to text her because I thought of the stuff that went on that came up for her from the still point, and I texted her, and her boyfriend's mom did pass.
Okay, well, we'll certainly hold her in the space.
Yeah, hold a space of love for her. So that was cool to connect with her and then, you know, find that out and then can send it back and, you know, and they're breathing through it, she said. So that's awesome, the grieving process.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Her, so, our boyfriend was such a sweet young man, even though it was in one night, really seemed to be there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It just keeps going and going like the Energizer Bunny, I think, you know.
There you go.
It's hard. It's like Purple Alligator, right? It's hard to get the Energizer and Bunny out of the thing, but it goes. It just resonates, and yeah. Anyway, okay.
Well, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is that, and this applies to anybody, and I'm just acknowledging you for doing it, is that no matter what messages we've made up about ourselves, no matter what messages we've taken on from others, what messages were given to us about ourselves being other than love, the moment we decide and choose to make a shift and to function as love, we're each empowered to give the greatest gift that the world has to, you know, needs to receive, and that is to bring forward that presence of love. And all it takes is just a little shift in mind to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
It only takes a little shift sometimes. That's all we need. Absolutely.
Yep. A little willingness. All right.
All right.
You have wondrous, happy holy days.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And you as well.
All right. Take care. Blessings.
Okay. Blessings.
All right. Jeannie, do we have anything else happening? Anything happening in the chat room or anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue? Well, all is quiet, so that means if you're in the phone queue and you have a question for us, then all you have to do is push one, and there's no waiting. You're first in line, and you know, go ahead and do it now instead of waiting until the last 45 seconds, and then there's not time to answer the question. So often we get somebody who has a question, they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then there really isn't time to address it. So we've got lots of time at this point. And so how can we support you? What do you have to share about these holy days? Maybe a challenge you're having, a question we can answer for you in support of the use of the tools, or maybe just a success at using the tools. You know, to me, every success that somebody shares on the show opens a space for others to go, I can do that too. And you know, just opening that space for somebody can be monumental. And you never know how many lives you're going to touch with it. And who's going to get to shift with it. It's just amazing, amazing. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And so if you're on one of those stations we can't see you in our chat room, if you are in the chat room and you have a question for us, push 1. Call that number, push 1, and that'll put you in the phone queue. You got a caller, Jeannie?
Yeah.
Awesome. Area code 207. You're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Rice.
Hey there, young man. Welcome. How are things in
Fort
Lauderdale?
Thank you. You know, I was on the show the other day, and I was talking about frustration. And you told me where to process and what to look at. And it's amazing how deep this work really goes, because I processed all of that back to my frustration started. You know, usually we know the alphabet when we start kindergarten.
Right.
And I started kindergarten and I did not know my alphabet. So my father sat down with me for at least a week straight and screamed the little alphabet at me, and I had to scream it back. That's how I learned my alphabet.
Wow.
And that's where my frustration went all, I mean, literally screaming at me and spanking me if I'd get it wrong.
Hmm.
And that's how deep my frustration went. And it was just amazing. Because I even forgotten about that. And I woke up in the middle of life, oh, my God, that's where that comes from. Yeah.
Nice piece of work. Well, and notice that it not only comes from you receiving that, but here, you know, being genetically linked to Dad, if you think in terms of the tuning fork, here's Dad shipping out or sending out this energy of rage toward you, And, of course, you've got a little rage tuning fork in there because you're the same genetics, and so you receive that, his frustration, his rage. And, you know, the child has no choice but to just absorb that energy. It's, you know, what's there. And so to get back to that place and to be able to work with the forgiveness process around memories like that, it's is monumental and just changes the whole game. So nice piece of work. That's fabulous.
Yeah, when I realized I was having the frustration, I go back to that thing where, you know, it's not you causing me frustration. It's inside me, and I have to process through it. And I had a couple of people ask me, why are you so frustrated with me? And that's when I didn't even realize I was having it until I said, it's not you, it's me. It's something inside me. I've just got to go find and see what it is. And
right.
Then I talked to you on the show, and then I processed that when I woke up, said, oh, my God, I don't even remember that memory. I had blocked it out probably.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty painful stuff. That's pretty traumatic for a little kid.
Yeah.
And all the things that go along with it, you know, embarrassment, inadequacy, messages, if you're not good enough, they'd all be areas, corollary areas to do worksheets around to clean up all of the dynamics that come from that. If you haven't touched those other areas, they'd probably be useful pieces of work to do as well.
Okay, thank you.
You know,
I'll be reaching out to Julie
here
out
I am.
The next morning.
Great, great idea. She's awesome at supporting that process. So fabulous.
Thank
you for sharing that with us. That's a gift to everybody.
Yeah, it does indeed, doesn't it?
It does. It's just like, you know, oh, I can do that too. Nice. Very nice.
Thank you for the help.
Cool. Well, happy holy days there in Fort Lauderdale. It's a shame you're not going to have any snow or cold weather to deal with. But, you know.
Yeah, that's just
the way it is.
A shame. I think about that every day. How, man, I miss snow and cold weather and rubber boots.
Yeah, well, you know, a few years ago we were in Hawaii and we had to stay there an extra week, and it was February and it was tough. I mean, it was really difficult.
I'm sitting on the back,
so,
short and sweating right now, perspiring.
Aha. Well, enjoy the sunshine, and we appreciate you and look forward to the next time we get face-to-face.
Yes, sir. Certainly.
All right, love and blessings. Take care. Nice work.
Blessing. Thanks a lot.
All right. Awesome. 808? Well, does that mean we've got that young lady, Roma, on the phone with us?
What?
I said, does that mean that we have that young lady, Roma, on the phone with us?
That is I, yes.
Ah, hey there, young lady. What's up for you?
Hi. A day and a half ago, I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And was feeling the energy of my mother's death. My mother died in my sister's presence, and I was not allowed to be there.
Right.
And my sister is the only survivor of my family of origin. And last thing I heard from her, out of her voice, was, I don't want to hear from you until it's the news of your death. So it was a really intense
a lot of pain.
Day yesterday. What?
I say it sounds like she's in a lot of pain.
Yeah. And I began wondering if maybe, you know, she was making some kind of major shift in consciousness. It would have been around the right time for her to receive and open my Christmas card I sent her, a very simple, just simple, loving Christmas card. So, you know, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, her time. Oh, boy.
Good breath.
Yeah.
Good breath. And notice that the other day on the phone, you were at a new level of vitality, a new level of aliveness, so it sounds like you're delving into a new layer of what needs to be healed. And, you know, you might go to the website under worksheets to print and look down the list for the responsibility communication letter. It's a fabulous model. It was done by a young man named David. And it's a fabulous model for doing responsibility communication that makes addressing issues like the one you're speaking, and I don't know the details of it with your sister, but addressing those kinds of issues in a way that, if anything, will open the space for her healing. Because in order, I mean, think about the mindset that somebody has to be in to say something like that to a relative.
Yeah.
There's just got to be so much trauma in there that is so difficult for her to face. And, of course, it always remains for the person who's got the tools to make the use of the tools, because somebody who doesn't have them can't do it. They don't have a clue how to do it. Don't have a clue where to go. So it's always for the person who's higher on the path to take the tools and make the offering of peace. So I'll hold the space and support you in that. And, you know, if you want to, if that makes sense to you and you want to write a responsibility communication to her and you want to, you know, email it to me, I'll go through it and see if I've got any feedback on it before you send it.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you very much. I tried to introduce her to this work about 20, maybe 22 years ago, and I was visiting, and I was giving her a permanent in her kitchen in New York, and I began talking about the fact that you know, it's our own consciousness that outpictures our life experiences, and she got hysterical. She literally got hysterical and ordered me out of her house. And right in the middle of a permanent, half of her head was up and half of her head was not. So it was very strange. I mean, you know, it was kind of a typical experience with her, but that's the last time I ever tried to talk to her about this work.
Right. Well, I'm not necessarily suggesting that you talk to her about this work. I'm just suggesting that some responsibility communication to open the space might be beneficial. And, you know, I suspect from what you just described, from just those few words, that what she heard you saying to her is she's to blame for what's going on in her life. And that's the way a lot of people, you know, the Goliath's cheap copy of responsibility is blame. What somebody, you know, when a person who's living in the Goliath mind hears somebody who's talking about responsibility as ownership, hears the word responsibility, here, you mean I'm the guilty party? I'm at fault? I'm to blame? I'm the bad one here? I'm the guilty? You know, what are you talking about? Who do you think you are? And, of course, then, you know, that's the John the Baptist scenario. You open that file and, you know, you get pukes
cut
on
your head off.
Yeah, it's always good to know when to duck and when to hold the mirror up. You know, they're the two skills that John had not developed. And if you're going to play that role in somebody's life, be careful, because if there's viciousness in there, if they're power person or power persons were vicious, the viciousness that can come up can be just unbelievable. Unbelievable, the things that they'll say and do, the energy they'll point toward you. And, of course, if you go into pain when they do that, that's your work. That's not theirs. It's like, oh, okay, so when somebody blames me, I have my pain, so now I'll own my pain and I'll do the next level of my work instead of, you know, exchanging tit for tat. So it sounds like, you know, there's probably around this whole issue with your sister still a really delicate, and it sounds like from the energy, perhaps a grief-stricken space, that you might do some worksheet around to let go of.
Yeah, I did work yesterday, but the grief didn't lift.
Yeah.
Grief in my heart.
Well, you probably haven't hit the core goal yet.
Well, it also includes the death of my mother, where
sure,
I was not
right.
allowed to be a part of it. So it's like, and I have a concern that maybe my mother is in limbo. She died, oh my goodness, how long ago? A long time ago. She died a long time ago, like in 96 or something. And I have a concern that the reason that energy came back to me is because she's in limbo. And
yeah, so notice the projection there.
What?
Notice the projection there.
Projection.
Notice the projection, yeah. You ever feel like you're in limbo?
I'm not aware of that. If I am,
okay.
Just write that
like, is your life on hold? Are you in suspended animation ever? Like, can't move forward? Any of that stuff going on?
Well, I don't think I have much interest in moving forward. Although when Dr. Tim suggested starting, a study group, I wrote it down, you know, read a chapter of the book and then do some worksheets. I tried when I first got here to create a group. Oh, why is this happening to me again, group? And it just didn't take, it didn't go. You know, everybody, people here think they know everything. It's, you know, it's hard. It's hard, but, you know, there is a publication I could announce in, you know, the starting of a Why Is This Happening to Me Again group, and I could try it again. It's been, you know, 8 years since I got here, so.
Right.
And, you know, I do think that race consciousness has shifted in those 8 years. Like we were talking a couple days ago, the awareness has shifted into race consciousness that that our own consciousness is the source of our experience. It's a lot more prevalent, I think, now than it was 8 years ago.
Definitely. So when I hear you say, you know, I don't want to move forward, that sounds a lot like limbo.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Well, I've never thought of myself as being in limbo before.
No.
Oh. I sometimes miss being in India. I'm sort of trapped here. Financially, I'm trapped here. So I guess you could call that limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
I mean, if you're going to be trapped somewhere, this is the best place to be trapped.
Yeah, right, yeah, go for it.
Oh, God. I tried to sing Mele Kaliki Maka the other day on the phone, and I realized after I'd sung the first phrase that I didn't know the rest of the lyrics, so I wrote them down. My girlfriend, who lived here for many years and now lives in Canada, shared with me the rest of the lyrics. So before I get off this phone call, I'm
silly girl,
huh?
Silly girl, just going from Maui to Canada.
Oh yeah, but you know she has found her true love, and it's so
awesome.
Thrilling and delightful for me. I'm kind of a surrogate mother for her, and basically I have shared the work. She has shifted, even though I don't think she's ever done a worksheet, but I've been sharing the crux of the work with her for a long time, and she has really shifted. And
fabulous.
Yeah, they've manifested each other, and it's so sweet to hear about. I'm so happy for her. It's just lovely.
Nice.
Yeah.
So if there's any part of you that's in limbo and you do your work and free yourself from it, guess who else gets free?
Well, let's define limbo.
Mom.
Huh? What?
Mom. Guess who else gets free?
Oh,
You know, limbo's kind of a place of being on hold. You know, you don't go forward, you don't go backwards, you just kind of hang there.
Well,
and
I'm not exactly hanging. I'm
there.
Deepening. I'm deepening my, you know, I have people now who tell me that no one in the world understands. This is a married woman that told me this last week. And she called me up and she said, you understand me on a deeper level than any other human being I know. And I can't imagine being acknowledged on any deeper and more meaningful level than that. So I know that I'm still moving forward with the internal work. But the externals of my life are definitely in limbo.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just hold the space for you to be able to tap into the exact goals that drive the process that keep you in that place and being able to cancel them, drop it.
Okay, the goals that drive me to being in limbo.
Yeah, to do the behaviors that keep you there. Keep you in that space of not moving forward.
Would you mind if we just look at that right now?
Of course.
Or can't we?
Here for.
Okay. Well, mistrust. Last time I was really active in the world was when we were collecting signatures for the GMO initiative. And then when the city mayor and the county council refused, they just ignored the fact that the public elected to have that become law. That was so disappointing for me that I just went inside and closed the door and didn't come out. But I started coming out.
Notice, we'll hold it there.
Yeah.
Notice the denial. Notice the denial. That caused this to happen in me. Remember, our definition of denial is
right.
When I think speak as though something outside of me, i.e., the town ignored it, caused my disappointment. So, how does disappointment look like an issue in your life?
Okay, my request.
And say it again.
My reclusiveness is a manifestation of disappointment. I'm just writing this stuff down so I can work on it later.
Cool. So then the alternative to that, of course, the goal you'd be working with, say, in that particular case is wanting the city to take notice and take action on the people's will.
Right.
You might look at relationships in your life where you wanted the people in your life to notice and take action on your will, and
will.
Then to step in your will.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, my will.
Yeah.
Other
so
people.
That bigger situation would tend to be a reflection of the more personal situation. You know, has it been an issue in your life that you want things to go in a certain direction and people don't respond to your will? And so that might be a place to do some worksheets and start to crack this whole issue open, both from the apparent external to the internal. And then what that will tend to lead to is to trust. And when you realize that you can trust Rukmini, even when everybody in the world is ignoring everything you want to do, if you've chosen to walk a path, then... And let's say in this case to bring forward action, then you walk that path to bring forward action. If, you know, 7.5 billion people ignore it and you choose to walk that path, you keep walking it, whatever they do, that your behavior isn't predicated on what they do. And what that tends to do is lead to the development of trust. And, you know, there's a great passage in The Course in Miracles that speaks about trusting Rukka, trusting that elemental force in you that, when you invite her into activity, undoes the effects of your errors and teaches you the truth.
Right.
And that passage goes like this. It says, once you have accepted her plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else that Rukka will not arrange for you. Without your efforts, she will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on, no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the one purpose that you would fulfill. And its fulfillment is guaranteed because it rests on you, a daughter of God.
That was a quote from The Course in Miracles. Where was that in the Course?
Course in Miracles. I'm not forgetting the chapter, but if you just Google, once you have accepted, actually the Course calls Rukka, which in Aramaic is feminine, he. So just Google the ACIM, once you have accepted his plan, that'll take you right to it. Awesome. The internet available these days.
Okay. His plan. And what's the website for the Course in Miracles?
Just put it into Google. There are several different sites that it'll come up on. So, if you just Google
several
ACIM,
different sites that would come up. that would come up, that I could put in once you have accepted his plan?
No, just go to a search engine. Just go to Google.
Yeah.
And put in ACIM.
Uh-huh.
Once you have accepted his plan, at least 24 sites will come up with information on that quote.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, good.
They call kinds of, you know, anytime you want a quote from the course, just put in ACIM in the quote, and there are all kinds of sites that will come up with it. Some people have written about it. You know, there'll be people who are teaching that they've written about that particular passage. Other people are criticizing it. Other people are praising it. And others, it's just, you know, straight, you know, here's the quote from the course. And then there are actually several sites. There are several versions of the course. So there are different sites. One will come from the official, you know, foundations course. And then there'll be one that'll come from the Hewlin Casey course. So there's all kinds of material that you can play with on the web when you put a quote in for the course.
I need to go look at EMDR too. I just started with a new therapist. I don't know what EMDR does so he says, okay, go to the official website and read about it. I forgot to do that. Yeah, I'm forgetting more and more, but I'm totally present in present tense, but forgetting more and more.
Cool.
Well, okay.
Well,
now, maybe I'll call tomorrow and sing, because I'm not feeling like singing yet.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. God bless you, everyone.
Blessings. Hey, happy holy days. We hold the space.
Thank you very much for all your support.
All right. Blessings.
Okay, bye.
You got it. Take care. All right. So what's the number, Jeannie?
707.
Okay, we've got about, 7 minutes left in the area code is 707. So let's say hello. 707, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
It's Julie from Pahrump.
Well, hey, young lady. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
Hold on. I had to get off the speakerphone. Doing excellently. How are you?
Nice. We're doing well. We're rocking.
You made it on your trip.
All things forward on a global scale.
Yay. I just really called to say and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and everything. And that was really it, other than I've kind of missed out listening this past week because I've had appointments and other stuff. So, but anyway, I wanted to just wish everybody that and say hi.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and we wish you the same. And, you know, all of those shows that you missed, of course, are in the archives. You can go listen to them anytime.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading them. So,
cool. Fabulous.
So that was it. I don't have anything really to discuss other than things are well.
Awesome. All right. Well, love and blessings, and happy holy days.
Okay. Talk to you guys soon.
Remember to spend the next several days totally locked into the mind of Christ in you.
Oh, I'm doing that. Very
cool.
Much so. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Very
all right.
So. Okay.
Okay. Blessings. All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Anybody else with a hand up on the phone? Do we got about 5 minutes?
There we go. Nobody else is on the switchboard, but I was looking up in the Course in Miracles while you were talking there, and it's chapter 20 called The Vision of Holiness, and it's part 4 that says entering the ark, and it's the very last paragraph, and I've put it in the notes for today's show. So just thought I'd throw that out.
You are so fast with all of that. It's amazing. Amazing. Cool. So we've got a couple minutes left if anybody's got another thought or question. Dr. Kim, do you want to share anything about the MDR? Is Tim still with us, Jeannie?
Yes. EMDR
yes.
stands for eye. The E is for eye. The M is for movement. The D is for desensitization, and the R stands for reprocessing. And what happens is they coach a person to identify 4 major aspects of a past trauma and then hold on to those while they undergo alternating bilateral stimulation, left side, right side, and that can be with sound, or it can be with light, or it can be with vibration or tapping. And the therapist is trained to coach the person to just watch whatever comes up, much like what happens in the worksheet process after we cancel the goal and ask to be shown. And
right.
So this is the process of allowing an intuitive reconnecting of traumatic energies and false perceptions and negative beliefs, and the therapist would coach the person to just allow that to come up and realize that they're safe in the therapist's office, that they're safe in the present moment as an adult or teen, however they are, and that they're remembering something that's just an active memory that is not happening again. And in that process, a lot of people find energy shifts and moves, and while they still have the memory, there's still the obvious, this did happen in the past, the emotional connection, the baggage attached to it is often released far more quickly than simply talk therapies would be able to do. And then, of course, it's just a thumbnail sketch. In the hands of a good therapist, there would be a lot of prep work done to establish a safe space and a safe image and build the client's resources so they're able to pull themselves back if they start getting too agitated, etc. But that's the quick overview of the EMDR approach.
Great synopsis. Thank you. Thank you for all the skills you bring to this. It's awesome. Awesome. What a gift. What a gift. Well, we're down to the last minute or two, so we'll just say that we hold the space for everyone to have wondrous gatherings, families, resolutions, healing, opening the space for the real, true experience of bringing that mind of love fully into your body and your lives, and that these preparations moving into the new year set up for the best year yet of your eternal life. And, you know, if it's time to take your work to the next level, then you might want to look on whyagain.org at the flyers. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, there's a word that says flyer, and just click on that. You'll see the intensives coming up. Jeannie will be doing a 5-day de-stressing for women and a 4-day women healing women starting the early part of March in Oak Island, North Carolina, on the beach. We're going to have 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house right on the beach. Step out the back door. You're in the sand, the ocean. And we'll be doing a 9-day intuitive development intensive, a 4-day codependence intensives, and a 9-day Course in Miracles intensive, as well as the personal code evaluation training. So we've got all that set from the early part of March to the middle of April. We'll look forward to those who join us coming to play. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and happy holidays. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic Internal Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.